service. Proverbs chapter 6, and if you're still turning, you go ahead and do what you need to do, and I'll get us started on our confession. The words on the screen, we invite you to join us as we make this confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 20, we read these words. Proverbs 6, chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. And pause there just a second, because God wants us as parents, moms and dads, to work together with him to raise our sons and daughters in ways that honor him and what the New Testament calls the training and instruction of the Lord. So moms and dads working together. And then he goes on, he says this in verse 21, bind them continually upon your heart. Now this is the son or daughter who has received from the parents that the parents have responsibility, but the sons and daughters also, we have a responsibility in that case, where it says, bind them continually upon your heart. Get them in your heart. Tie them around your neck. Give yourself reminders. And this is what he says in verse 22. When you roam, they, the words that you have taken to your heart, they will lead you. They will guide you. When you sleep, they will keep you. That means they'll protect you. So we can receive the wisdom of God, God's words, godly people in our lives. And he says those wise words will guide you and protect you if you follow them. Then he says, and he goes on, when you awake, they will speak with you. So again, we're to instruct our sons and daughters in the ways of God, to guide them, to instruct them, to protect them. And then I'll read just the next verse. Verse 23 says, for the commandment is a lamp. Now back in verse 20, he said, keep your father's command, do not forsake the law of your mother. There's a command and a law. And then he says, for the commandment is a lamp. What did we just say in our confession? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. In other words, as parents, we are to instruct them. We share God's word with our sons and daughters. And then he says, reproofs. That word means correction. Correction and instruction are the way of life. So this morning, the message, I'll give you the title here. There is an application certainly for moms, but because it's not just a mother's meeting, and we do have others of us involved, I believe there's an application for all of us, and here it is, simply this. Invest for time and eternity. Invest for time and eternity. That's what this scripture speaks of. Of course, this life is very important. This life affects the life to come, but it's not all important. There is a life to come, and there is an eternity to consider. So invest for both. Invest for time and invest for eternity. And this came to my mind recently as I was preparing for this message about how we can, actually James Dobson, some of you are familiar with his name, who was the founder of Focus on the Family. He used to talk about how the wife can set, if I say an atmosphere in the family. But we all have a part to play because even children can cause chaos if they really want to in the family. But to try to set a loving environment and, say, atmosphere, in other words, let's be more like a thermostat to set the temperature rather than a thermometer that just tells the temperature. It's easy to be the thermometer and just say everything is wrong or whatever, but to be the thermostat to actually set it, to try to make it a loving, healthy atmosphere, a godly atmosphere, because when we're talking about bringing up sons and daughters, love in the family promotes healthy learning, promotes healthy growth. I believe it even promotes healthy correction, because if we correct our sons and daughters and it's just kind of like with the hammer and harshness, it's going to make it tough to receive, and it can even build some resentment. So we want it to be loving in that we have their best interests at heart, and we don't want them to question that about us. Let me give you just a simple definition of investment. Then I want to ask you to turn to the New Testament book of Mark. To invest just simply means to commit or make use of for future benefit or future return. So to commit, like I'm committing $50 a month into this retirement, and I'm hoping that I'm going to get a good return when the time comes that I need it. So to commit or to make use of for future return, it actually, one of the definitions said this, to engage, especially emotionally. So as parents, we are engaged emotionally in our sons and daughters because we're making that investment in them. So because there are no guarantees, Years ago, I obtained an insurance license. And then a couple years later, I obtained a securities license where I could do mutual funds type investments. And all investments carry some risk. So you have to be willing to say, what am I after? Not get rich quick, but long-term growth or current income, whatever the need is. So to invest, since there are no real guarantees, that's true in life too, isn't it? That when we invest ourselves into anyone, that there are no guarantees that it's all going to turn out as we wish, but we can invest wisely. And that's what I hope to be able to look to God's word, that we could receive wisdom from, to invest wisely. Would you turn to someone next to you and tell them, invest wisely? Now would you turn to Mark chapter 8, please, in the New Testament. Mark chapter 8, I'll give you a couple of verses before I join you there. But just hold your spot, invest. And I would like to ask you this. Can we invest in ourselves? Sure. Can we invest in our son or daughter? Can we invest in our spouse, a friend? Sure. So this has a broader application, but certainly it applies to our children, to our sons and daughters. Before I join you there in Mark, I want to ask them to just put a reference on the screen here. It's in Genesis chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. Genesis 21, verse 15, this is an account of a lady named Hagar. She bore Abraham a son named Ishmael. That was not God's perfect plan, but how many of you know we don't live in a perfect world? And so because Abraham's wife Sarah, about 13 years later, bore a son named Isaac, there was some tension in the family. Ishmael was actually making fun of Sarah's little boy when he was weaned. Maybe he was 3 years old or so. So here's Ishmael, maybe a mid-teenager, 16 years old or so, and Abraham sends her away. Think about that. Here's a single mom having to go out to face the world with a sack lunch and a canteen of water. And this is where it picks up in Genesis 21, verse 15. When the water in the skin was used up and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat down across from him, about a distance is how far you could shoot a bow or an arrow. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard, this is interesting to me, because it doesn't say he heard Hagar, he did, but it says that God heard the voice of the lad. God heard the voice of this teenager where he was. I'm so glad God will meet us where we are. If we just turn to him and look to him and call out to him, he hears us. He says that he heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to mom, to Hagar, out of heaven, and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar?" And he said, the angel said, "Don't be afraid. God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." And then he gives her instruction here, and this literally happened. Literally took place. I just see a spiritual parallel that we can apply to our lives. This is the first thing the angel of the Lord said to her in verse 18. He said, "Arise." Would you say arise? Speaking about investing for time and eternity, I want to encourage everyone. I just told someone recently, because of just what they're going through, invest in yourself. You have to invest in yourself. It's not selfish to do so. It can be done in a way that will help you better invest in those closest to you. He said, "Arise." You can't get up and help your. You can't help your son if you don't get up yourself. Amen. So invest in yourself. Invest in your spiritual health through fellowship with your Father in heaven by prayer and worship and Scripture. Invest in your, I would say, relational health, emotional health with godly fellowship. That's one of the advantages of coming together in fellowship. We're investing in our emotional health by godly relationships and godly fellowship with one another. Invest in your mental health by reading the Scripture, renewing your mind, and I would even say this, learning good information. Do you know that I've read you can do something we can do something as simple as brushing our teeth with our non-dominant hand and it will trigger neurons in our brain that we wouldn't typically use? So all y'all today, when you go home, you might not want to make a practice of that. You do want to get your teeth clean eventually. But to invest in your mental, haven't you heard so much about just all forms of dementia in our day? And I'm sure there are multiple reasons, multiple causes. I just try to come at it from a little more of a spiritual angle. If there's something you can do, in fact, I think one of the articles I put on the table has about 5 just quick steps that are helpful along that line. But my coming from a more of a spiritual angle is build up your spirit, renew your mind, and then if those challenges come, I just believe that the Bible says the spirit of a person sustains them in sickness. So we can strengthen our spirit, and I believe that's just part of how we can sow and invest and calls for a future investment return in us. And then invest in your physical health. Try to eat something healthy and get your proper rest and activity as well. Then he goes on, he says this in verse 18, "Arise, lift up the lad." Now that if you invest in yourself, we are better able to lift up or invest in those closest to us. And then he tells her, you hold him. Hold your loved ones, hug them, for I'll make him a great nation. And verse 19, then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. If we will invest in ourselves the right way, God can give us a spiritual perspective that we wouldn't see completely depleted if we don't invest the right way. He opened her eyes to see something that she wouldn't have seen just in the natural. Thank God that he can give us an eternal perspective. That's why it's important. Again, invest for time and eternity. Would you say that with me? Invest for time and eternity. Let me join you in Mark chapter 8. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 34, it says, when he, Jesus, had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life, in other words, if I just live for the here and now, I'll lose it. But whoever loses or invests or gives his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Verse 36, I would like to ask, if we read this off the screen just so that we're all on the same translation, would you read this verse out loud with me? Ready? For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You see how important that is? For we're investing not only for time, but investing for eternity. I want to ask you, I want to give you a little challenge. I wonder how many of you would be willing to try to meditate on this verse, think on it this week, and memorize it. Mark 8:36. Some of you joining online as well. That's an important truth. Then verse 37, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So here's how the first way to invest for eternity is with our heart to believe the testimony of God's word that says we have all sinned and fallen short of a holy God. Our sin separates us from him now and forever, but he loved us so much that he gave his only son to be sacrificed on the cross to suffer and die, to bear our judgment and our punishment. 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, and if we will believe in him with our heart as Lord, he will save us, and he'll forgive our sin. He'll be with us every moment of this life, and we'll be with him every moment of eternity. Invest for time and eternity. Now, let me give you this real quick. 3 steps, I believe, of ways we can invest. Number one, and you don't have to turn to this one, I'll give it to you for sake of time, and I'll just tell you what they are, and we'll go back. You don't have to be a speed writer, okay? Here's the first one. First way to invest for time and eternity is to intercede. Intercede, that just means we're praying. Then the second one is to instruct, and the third is to inspire. Again, we'll take a moment and go in each one, but to intercede, to instruct, and to inspire. Let me read this to you from 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, the last few verses of that chapter, beginning in verse 26, we read these words. Then she said, this is a lady named Hannah who was barren. And in that culture, that was considered almost like a curse. Children are considered a blessing. And not only that, but she had a rival who was kind of dogging her and riding her about it. So she went to the Lord and prayed. She went to the priest, to the temple, and she was just pouring out her heart before the Lord. She was moving her lips, but nothing was coming out. She was praying just. And the priest thought she was drunk. Now, if you come to church and I see you praying like that, I'm not going to think you're drunk, all right? And he said, put away your drunkenness. Now, that would have offended some people, and she wouldn't have gone back. But she said, oh, my Lord, I'm not drunk. I'm just sorrowful in spirit, and I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord. And he said, may God grant you your request. And she just took that as a word from the Lord. And she went home all happy. She was praising the Lord. And she ended up getting pregnant and had a son named Shmuel. Samuel, God hears. Thank God he does. She brought him back to that priest, to the temple. And that's what it says here, verse 26. She said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, that's intercession. She prayed for a son. She said, for this child I prayed, and for the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Verse 28, therefore I also have lent him. That word lent is better translated. It's also translated as given. I have given him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be given to the Lord, so they worship there. We intercede for others because we care. We intercede for others, not just our needs, but we intercede for others because we love them. We want God to be with them, and we want God's will for them. That's what intercession is. As I thought about this message earlier in the week, only God would know. Only God would know how much... I'll say worse, this world would be if it were not for moms who faithfully prayed for their sons and daughters. How much worse would this world be? Of course, dads too, but I remember reading of even presidents who had talked about the influence of their mothers' prayers over them and for them and in them. So please, I know it can be discouraged when you feel like you pray maybe for years and feel like there's no fruit and no result. Please don't stop praying. You're investing in a life for eternity. Invest for time and eternity so we intercede. Then it says this in chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 and 19 says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child wearing a linen ephod." She started him on the right path, and he continued on that path. You know, the proverb says that even children are known by their doing. Is that right? Children can develop a reputation, if I say it that way. So the scripture says here, he served the Lord as a child, verse 19. "Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe, bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Hannah prayed for her son. When God answered, she dedicated her son to the Lord, and he not only served the Lord as a child, he grew to be one of the greatest prophets in the nation of Israel's history." You're shaping a life, mom, dad, or whatever the relationship may be. Invest for time and eternity. Would you say intercede? Now, the last scripture I want to ask you to turn, but two of them will be in this book, 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you'll join me there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Intercede, instruct, inspire. I'll even say this before I read that. And I don't know everyone's background. I don't even know who's all is joining us right now, listening or watching. But I would say someone prayed for you. Someone invested in you. Or I doubt you would even be here today. Aren't you glad they did? Invest for time and eternity. So intercede. Secondly, instruct. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." We're seeing more of that in our land today, aren't we? Jesus is the divider. He's the uniter if you're with him, but he's also the divider when it comes down to it. Verse 13, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." There's great deception in our day. Jesus said it would be like that in the days before he returns. And there's one weapon that is really effective against deception, truth. And it's the truth that is found in God's word. Thus he says this, verse 14. "But you, Timothy, must continue." Would you say continue? "Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Of course, ultimately it's from God, but we do have human agents who teach us and who seek to lead us in the right ways of God and for the Lord. I want to ask you this, especially about this scripture here, deceiving and being deceived and people turning away from the Lord, and how Jesus said, if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul, what did we really gain? Let's prioritize and treasure. I'll say it that way. Let's prioritize and treasure being faithful to God and being a success in his eyes more than being a success in the world's eyes. If we can be a success in both, and some are, thank God, that's great. But let's prioritize and treasure being a success in God's eyes and being faithful to him, however else the chips may fall. So then he goes on, he says this in verse 15, "And that from childhood," that word literally means infancy. How does an infant know scripture? Because someone's pouring it into them. It says, "From infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." That's why I said living by the truth, obedience to the truth, is a safeguard against rampant and widespread deception. Timothy knew the scripture. In verse 16, I'll close with, or this last point, verse 16 and 17. "All scripture," would you say that with me? "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." That means it's God-breathed. "And it is profitable." God's word is profitable for doctrine, that means teaching. God's word will teach us. For reproof, that means conviction. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. So God's word will teach us. It will convict us, correct us. It will instruct us in how to live right. In verse 17, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete or mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word will equip us to do God's will. Before I give you this last point on inspire, I just mentioned this about instructing. Because how I would instruct Brittany now is going to look different than how I instructed her when she was five. And she was living at home under our care and under our provision. How I instructed her at age five is going to look different than me just sharing God's word with a friend. I don't have that authority. I can just come in and I can share God's word with people, but I don't have the instruction looks different. Does that make sense? Because she's up on her own now. Now, here's what I do hope. I hope that I am not only seeking God's wisdom myself, but living by God's wisdom so that if she ever needed a word of wise advice or counsel, that she could come to me, and I hope that I could share it with her. Or sometimes I could even say, Brittany, I think it would be wise if you did this or that, but then I can't make that decision for her. I have to kind of back away and respect the boundaries, so to speak. And if she marries and has a husband, then I'll have to adjust those boundaries a little bit. Because I have to respect the fact that she has a husband and they have their relationships. But I hope that I can still instruct in a way of investing for time and eternity. You got that right? That makes sense? All right? And then finally, would you turn to chapter 1 of 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Intercede, instruct, inspire. Would you say that with me? Intercede, instruct, inspire. And then the scripture says this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, he was not his biological son. I'll say more about that in a moment. Verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, that without ceasing I remember you in prayers, night and day. That's interceding. Then he says this in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. I believe one of the greatest ways we can inspire others is to lead by example. Timothy had a godly mom, he had a godly grandmother, and he had a godly mentor that he chose to follow, Paul. Timothy's dad is not mentioned. He may have passed, or some believe that he was just not a believer. And Timothy could have learned maybe some trade or other valuable information from his dad. But if he was not a Christian, he really couldn't learn about the Christian faith from his dad. But he had a spiritual father he hooked up with and received from his spiritual father. So please don't feel like if we're not both mom and dad together. That's ideal. That's what we want. But if that's not the case, don't give up on yourself. Don't sell yourself short. Please keep. You might be a Lois. You might be a Eunice. You might be a Paul. Keep investing for time and eternity so we can inspire with our example. And he goes on. He says this in verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. He encouraged him, he inspired him with godly words. We can inspire others with, I'll say the right words, maybe I'll say it this way, wise words at the proper time. How many of you know what a word in season is? Because if somebody's not willing, it's not a good time to receive it, we'll end up wasting that wisdom. So wise words at the proper time, but to inspire, to live it out, to share it, and I believe one of the moms texted me or shared with me this week the challenge of we live in a world with so many distractions and how challenging that can be to raise sons and daughters. And I thought, maybe one way, and I need to grow in this, I'm trying to be better about this. One way that we can inspire others is to really focus and listen to them. undistracted. That's an investment in them. So I want to grow in that. I believe we all can. We can develop that discipline to be able to focus and not be distracted. And of course, there are times we're doing something and we're talking. That's fine. Doesn't mean we're distracted, but I'm talking about when there's really time to listen. And then he says again that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Invest in them by prophesying to them, giving them wise words to encourage them and build their lives on. And let's be honest as I close. We all fall short at times, don't we? And we sin. I would just say this. I always want to emphasize this. When we sin and fall short, please repent quickly and stay close to the Lord. Don't let days and weeks go on. Repent quickly and stay in close fellowship with the Lord. And then if you feel like I've tried to invest, I've poured my life into someone, I've given everything I have, and it hasn't turned out the way I wanted, I just want to say this. We can't choose for others, but we can invest wisely. We can invest for time and eternity by faith in God, love for God, and love for them. Let's do our part and trust God with the return on the investment and the results. Sometimes we just go through seasons, and those prayers aren't wasted. I asked you last week how many of us experienced being a prodigal. I'm sure someone was praying for you when you weren't in full fellowship with the Lord. Those prayers might not have been answered right away, but they were answered, and look where you are now. Thank God for his faithfulness. So again, who invested in you? If they're around, will you thank them today? And then I want to ask you to think about this before we pray. How will you invest in yourself this week, in your walk with the Lord, and how will you invest in someone close to you? I want to ask you to think about that. How will you invest in yourself, in your own walk with the Lord, and then how will you invest in someone close to you this week? Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you. I want to thank you for parents. I want to thank you for pastors. I want to thank you for Sunday school teachers, friends, those who invested in me. And I hope that I can do that for others, to bless and serve them for you. That's what I ultimately want. I pray that even now, someone who is discouraged, they don't see the results, I just pray that you would encourage them and bless them, Lord. Let them know their labor in you is not in vain. You're able to reach people. Help us just be faithful. And then help us to invest wisely in ourselves, in others, not just for time, but for eternity, because what we do in this life does affect eternity. And we thank you for your grace and your goodness. In Jesus' name. Can we stand together?